Redbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
This is Kevin O'Brien of EWTN's Theater of the Word. I'm excited also to teach middle school and high school literature, speech, and drama with homeschoolconnections.com, an online Catholic curriculum provider. Your student can meet with me online for a live, interactive class. Whether you take apologetics with John Martinoni, or grade school with Jackie De La Viaga, or any of the other 400-plus courses with homeschoolconnections.com, online Catholic learning for your homeschooling family is available for you.
This episode is brought to you by Hallo, the number one Catholic app. Hallo has 1,000 audio-guided prayers and meditations for you to deepen your relationship with God. To listen to all of the Hallo meditations for free for 30 days, head to hallo.com/breadbox.
Welcome to Home But Not Alone with Tim and Sarah, where we talk about real life as a stay-at-home Catholic parent. If it's noon and you're still in your pajamas, have reheated your coffee 3 times and tried to pray but got distracted, this is the place for you. Life is crazy, but through it all, remember, you're never alone. You've got God's grace and our friendship coming your way.
Now think about the choice that you've made. Okay. That's probably something that we've said to our kids. Take a break and think about the choice that you made. But this is a good practice, not only for kids, but for parents too. Our lives are filled with choices to make. And today we're going to talk about discernment and prudence, two things needed to make good and holy choices. And we're going to play a game of Would You Rather to put our decision-making skills to use. Hey, Tim.
Hey, Sarah. Gosh, when you made me immediately. Now I'm thinking about every decision I've ever made. I'm like, oh, what have I done? Oh, felt like I was in trouble there for a minute. Okay, real quick story. So speaking of making decisions, so a number of years ago, gosh, this was well before I met my wife. So this was, gosh, a while ago. Okay. I was probably not in the best place to be dating, but I also didn't stop dating. And I did, well, it was hard to find anyone to date me when I wasn't in a good place because, you know, it's just not attractive. And
Right. So okay.
I met someone through one of those online dating sites, a Catholic one, I think. And the young woman was like, oh, yeah, we can meet up. How about we meet over at this place at this time and we'll get whatever, some food. And I was like, yeah, that's fine. Sounds great. And I got to the place.
Okay.
And I remember it was like a cold, snowy day. And I was like, I'm tired. I don't want to get out of the car. I just want to go home and go to sleep. But I was like, nah, I'm going to go in and go on this date because I didn't want to stand the woman up. I didn't
right.
want to be that guy.
Right.
So instead, I was like, oh, I'm going to go on a date I don't want to go on. It was, you know. And then I went in and I was a horrible conversationalist. And frankly, she was not interesting. And there is a – you ever seen the Pixar movie Inside Out?
Yes.
Okay, well, there's a line in that movie
it's
where
all the little people that live in her brain or something.
Yeah, and the angry guy at one point is like, oh, thanks a lot, San Francisco. You ruined pizza. Well, let me tell you, this place I was at was San Francisco ruining pizza. It was horrible because it was one of those where I was like, I was told, we're going to get some pizza. And I was like, great. Uh-huh. And then we got there and they're like, all right, would you like the vegan option or the one that the just cows eat or something? Like, it was one of those where I'm like, this is not real pizza. And I was like, yeah, it's fine. At least I'll get a sizable pizza. And they were like, no, $15. Here's a tiny little pizza. And I'm like,
oh, no.
I'm like, I could get the same thing from the grocery store for $4. Like, what do you know? Okay, it was terrible, the whole thing. But it was a bad decision because I wasn't thinking ahead of time. I wasn't like, should
right.
I even be looking to go on dates right now? And the answer was
right.
no. But
right.
I didn't think ahead. I didn't properly prepare myself and consider the consequences of my actions. You know, I didn't,
you didn't
discern.
Look up the
should
pizza
I be
place
dating?
To make sure it was affordable.
Oh, that was, yeah. Oh, that was such a bad decision. Oh, there's so much good pizza out there. Just ruined everything. Anyway, okay,
so I guess a little prudence and discernment may have helped you in that situation.
Yeah, no kidding.
So should we maybe just start right there? Like, prudence and discernment, what are those things?
Well, I'll tell you this real quick is that
go ahead.
When you and I decided to do this episode, I called it discernment and you called it prudence. And we were talking about the exact same thing, which I found fascinating that we use different terms for what we were talking about. But we meant the same thing.
Yeah. And I think that prudence and discernment are very similar. Here's how I would maybe say the difference, because we said, oh, an episode on making good choices. And you said discernment. Yes. I said prudence. Well, I would say that prudence is a practice of, so like prudence is a virtue. Right. So it's the habit of, you know, making the good choices. But I would say that maybe discernment would be the process. I could be wrong on this, but that's how I would see them. So discernment is the process of, you know, going through and sifting through and coming to a decision on these choices. And then like the more we do that, we develop the virtue of prudence, which is, you know, making good and holy choices. Does that sound right? Or could I, am I way off?
That sounds right. I mean, I'm not a Catholic dictionary, but that sounds right to me. Yeah. I didn't mean to imply that, oh, well, that prudence and discernment are identical, but they both are relevant to decision-making, to shaping ourselves so that we are in accord with God's will. And yeah, I would say discernment is more the method and prudence is the guiding virtue behind that method, or at least one of the guiding
virtues. Interesting
though,
you know, the word associations when we're talking about choices, I think it kind of says, you know, says a little bit about personalities and the way that we think about things.
Oh, absolutely. Now, let me ask you a question, because you wrote a book on virtue. If you had to say one important thing about the virtue of prudence, what would be the most important thing in your mind?
Okay, so I would say the most important thing about prudence is to know that it's a good thing to ask for help and guidance. Because I think all too often we try to make decisions on our own, you know, based on what we know or what we feel. But a lot of times there's somebody out there who knows more than you about the situation or about the two choices. And, you know, from this, their state of wisdom, you know, about whatever the situation is, they can probably guide you to make a better choice. So I would say, as far as prudence, don't try to make every decision on your own. It's a good thing to ask for help from a trusted friend or, you know, look into what the church teaches or to ask, you know, a spiritual director or a priest.
Okay. Okay. I like that.
Not in every decision. I mean, some decisions you can make on your own. Like, should I have a salad or a sandwich for lunch? Like, don't ask your priest. Okay. Yeah.
Well, it depends on what kind of bread you have and what kind of lettuce. I mean, these are important things to know. Spinach lettuce. Yes. Iceberg lettuce, throw it away. Okay. That's just not real lettuce.
Oh, iceberg. It's so crunchy and crispy.
So do most people. I don't get it. It basically tastes like air that's grass flavored. I don't get it. Anyway.
Spinach is good too, though.
I like it. Yes. And you need some good bread for a good sandwich. And I would say, tell me if I'm wrong on this or you disagree, but I would say that in regards to discernment, I like how you said with prudence, you gotta get some help where you need help. I think you need that when you're discerning something, especially a big decision. But I would say in a lot of ways, discernment, you need to really trust yourself. You need to open yourself up to what God is saying. You need to put yourself in a place, be in a state of grace, be in have a prayerful life as best as you can. But you really need to trust what God is putting on your heart, because God does not put things on our heart that will lead us the wrong way. Do you get what I'm saying there?
Yeah. The only thing that I would caution in there, and this is something that the Catechism brings up, is the importance of a well-formed conscience, in the matter of discernment. Because if you don't have a well-formed conscience, like yourself and your heart could really be convicted to do something that is objectively wrong because your conscience doesn't recognize that. So I would say, if you have a well-formed conscience, like, and you know that, and you're like dedicated and you want to live out the faith, then absolutely, you know, when you discern something and it doesn't go against the teachings of the faith and like, this is what you've decided, absolutely, you know, commit to that and don't second guess it, because then you start to get into those doubts and things that really can distract you from God's path that you already discerned for yourself. So yeah, that would be my disclaimer.
Oh, you know what I love about that is I brought up, like, I mentioned being in a state of grace, having a prayerful life. That's exactly what I was getting at. And I didn't even realize I was referencing something that was in the catechism. So I feel super smart. I feel really smart right now without realizing it. So
yeah, you intuit the catechism. That's good.
Oh, yeah. All right. Hey, how about we do some would you rather questions?
Sure. All right.
All right. I got a bunch of them right here. All right.
Okay. Let's see if I can make some prudent decisions.
Yeah. Well, none of these really matter. would you rather win the lottery or live twice as long?
Oh, boy. Win the lottery. I don't want to live that long. Why not? I guess it depends on, am I destined to have a short life? Like, if I'm destined to die tomorrow, then yes, give me twice my life. But if I'm going to live to a normal old age, like, I don't know, 70 or 80 or however old people live, I don't want to live till I'm 150. I just don't. Like, at that point, let me go home and see God. But okay, I'd take the lottery because then I can, like, you know, send my kids to college and build them houses and stuff.
See, I was thinking win the lottery as well, but I was thinking win the lottery because let's say I would have lived 85 years and then, you know, you double that and that's like a lot longer. And don't make me do math. Well, if I live, you know, 150, 170, 190 years, then suddenly I'm sitting there going, yeah, well, now I got to earn money for 190 years worth of life.
Right.
Whereas you win the lottery and you live 85 years, you're like, nah, I'm good. Like, that's far easier.
Right.
So I'm choosing the easy path.
Yeah. The only thing is Christians, if I'm going to win the lottery and die tomorrow, then no thanks, you know?
Well, you can't know. You never know when it's your time. So that's even
true.
In hypothetical questions. would you rather have 20 million YouTube subscribers or produce a blockbuster action movie?
Well, probably the blockbuster action movie, because I would think the 20 million YouTube subscribers comes with a lot of work for me in the future. You know, like, if you have all those subscribers, you're really dedicated to your ministry, you gotta like keep giving them stuff. I don't know. But if I do the movie, then I have a movie and everybody loves it and I can just sit back and watch the movie and not keep creating content.
Okay. See, my initial thought with that was, with a blockbuster action movie, you put out one thing and you're finished. But with with that many YouTube subscribers, I could go on, put a 3-minute video up and reach millions and millions of people.
Oh, that's true. That's
in a
true.
Blink. Mm-hmm. But then I was like, yeah, it's got to be the YouTube subscribers, until I realized how much I value my privacy and how much I can't stand social media comment sections.
Right. Oh,
and yes. And also I would be, cancel culture would get rid of me in 5 seconds. I would not last at all. If you think you'd be gone quick, I would be gone so much quicker. And the ridiculous things I say and do, oh man. But I thought, well, with that, okay, the blockbuster action movie, then I've done my job. I did the thing. And very few people know who the producer of a blockbuster action movie is, unless they're big movie fans. But if you have 20 million,
you're still kind of anonymous. Yeah.
You're still kind of anonymous, but you've done that work. And then at that point, you're probably successful enough that you can turn around and pivot it into more work, hopefully successful, and maybe use that as, you know, a platform for ministry or just making movies. I don't know.
Yeah. Just in terms of the work involved, I don't like feeling like committed like that. So I'll take the one and walk away from it.
If you had 20 million YouTube subscribers, you could probably have a successful Patreon page and you could hire someone to help you with the work.
That's
anyway,
true. That's true.
There's so many. This is all hypothetical. All right. let's see. What is the next one? Sorry. Would you rather win $70,000 or let your best friend win $250,000? And no, you do not get to say that your spouse is your best friend for this.
Oh, come
on. I don't know, because I already thought about that one, and that's too easy.
Ooh, too easy. How much money do I get?
You get $70,000 or your best friend gets $250,000.
I'd probably say my best friend, because that's more money that somebody gets. And I think my best friend could use $250,000. I mean, I sure could use $70,000, but you know, it's a bigger payout. So My best friend might.
I like that you said you think your best friend could use $250,000. I'm like, if it's just think, then, you know, maybe take the 70 yourself. Yeah, I thought about that and I'm like, I feel like I'm going to be selfish. I'm going to take the 70 grand.
You're going to take the 70,000.
I am, because I know what my costs are. Although right. I would say that of, you know, the one person who's probably my best friend who is not my wife, yeah, probably needs the money more. But I think in this hypothetical, I'm going to be selfish. So 70 grand in my pocket.
I mean, it's hypothetical, so it's a little bit easier for me to be generous, but I don't know when it comes down to the...
I'd say it's hypothetical. It's easier for me to be selfish. I don't have to deal with any of the consequences of selfishness.
Oh, boy. All right. Okay.
All right. Would you rather sleep without a pillow or sleep without a blanket?
Sleep without a pillow. I basically sleep without a pillow every night.
Okay. Okay.
So I have my pillow, but I have to push it away because it's not comfortable.
Man. See, I'm an old man.
This isn't even a hypothetical. I'm just telling you.
I'm an old man. I need a pillow or a rocking chair or something propping me up. So
do you have like multiple pillows?
Oh, multiple. I have three. And that's after turning it down. Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm fine with that. I'm 35 going on 90. That's all right.
Oh, my goodness.
Need to double that lifespan. See, that's what it'll do. Anyway. Okay.
Okay.
Would you rather be able to visit, not travel to, but just, but visit, I mean, you travel to and then you come back, 100 years in the past or 100 years in the future?
Okay. Just visiting. I don't have to stay there.
You don't have to stay there.
Let's see. What year is it now? 2020. So do I want to go to the 20s?
It's 2021.
It is 2021. So do I want to go to the 1920s? Or do I want to take my chances on the future? How long do I have to stay there?
I don't know. You decide.
Okay. All right. I guess, you know, send me to the past, because if it's like the apocalypse in the future, that's going to be bad. And I don't really want to risk those, you know, end times tribulations, not even if I'm not staying there for very long. So I guess send me somewhere where I can prepare myself and know what I'm in for, and not somewhere where I could be like, surprise, apocalypse in your face.
Okay. See, I'm actually going to go to the future and gamble that the apocalypse won't have happened. People have been saying that's going to happen for a long, long time. And I'm like, you know what? Everybody's like, it's happening soon. And I'm like, nah, I'm going to gamble and go 100 years in the future. Because if you go 100 years in the future, they're going to have the technology for you to learn a lot more in a much shorter period of time. Maybe even bring some of that back with you, some of that knowledge back with you. Mm-hmm. But you go 100 years in the past. I mean, when I got my history degree, if I learned anything, it's, there's no time in the past that I wouldn't die very quickly. So I feel like...
Oh, that's true. I mean, are we talking like outhouses and like go out and milk the cow and stuff? Yeah. If I have to live like that, see, now you're going to make me change my mind.
Well, I mean, you could be living in Chicago in 1921. I mean, that place was hopping. They had, they were ignoring all the laws and having lots of fun and all kinds of chaos and craziness. Everybody was dressed the same way. It was very weird and great. But yeah, so, I mean, it doesn't have to be outhouses and milking the cows. You know, people still milk cows today and probably will 100 years from now.
I know.
But yeah, that's, that's why I'd go to the future, is because I feel like if I went to the past, I would be dropped down in one place and I'd be like, well, time to walk somewhere. And then by the time I got there, I'd be like, hey, what information do you guys have? And they'd be like, what are you talking about? And then I'd get, you know, zapped back to the present day. And it would have been like, I can take a long walk here. Okay. Next question.
Okay.
Would you rather have your own theme song whenever you walk into a room, or have a laugh track for every time you did something funny?
Theme song, for sure. Walking into a room, I can see myself just, hello, I'm here, everybody, whatever my song is. Yes, that one's for me.
No ego there. look at me, I'm here, my song is announcing it. If somebody did that in real life, no one would like them. Maybe they'd be really famous at the same time. Who knows?
Yeah, exactly.
I'd go with the laugh track because first of all, I mean, I don't mind saying I'm very funny. I'm also, yeah, the ego on me just got even bigger.
Oh boy.
No, I've been told by a lot of people that I'm funny and I like being funny. I like making people laugh, but also I'm a dad. And so some of my jokes fall flatter than the Nebraska plains. Like they're just so nothing there. That was a joke that fell flat there, by the way.
Oh boy.
And people need to be told, just like in terrible sitcoms, hey, right. Time to laugh.
It's time
now.
To laugh.
Which, oh gosh, take a laugh track out of a bad sitcom.
I feel like
sitcom.
That's my job
it's
on
painful.
This podcast. I'm your laugh track.
That's kind of true. Oh, man. Oh, that's okay. So sad and awesome at the same time. All right. Next question. Would you rather get a paper cut every time you touch paper or bite your tongue every time you eat something?
Oh, no. I don't like either of these.
You don't have to.
This is the worst. Bite my tongue, I guess.
Really? Okay, see, I'd rather get the paper cut because we live in a digital world now. And you can use less paper, so.
Yeah, I guess, but I read books and stuff.
Yeah, see,
every
I like
time I turn the
audiobooks.
Page, I'm going to get a paper cut. Like, this is like torture.
I don't know, get some sort of device. I don't know.
I'd have to get all my books on my Kindle, but I like my physical books, you know, like flipping through the catechism or flipping through my spiritual reading, going back to what I just read.
I will say that is a big disadvantage. I love audiobooks, but a big disadvantage is I will be listening to something and I will sit there and go, oh, I need to make a note of that for an article in the future or just for my own knowledge. But it's not like I can just highlight it or stop and put a bookmark or write it down. I'm like, no, I then have to back up the audio track and then write it down while I'm listening. And I have to keep pausing it to keep up. So that's inconvenient to try and locate stuff. But, you know, for the most part, I'm like, yeah, that disadvantage isn't enough to deter me from giving up books. Plus, you can just sit in a bookstore with a tablet and just smell the books. I don't know.
I don't like to. No, thank you. I'm not smelling any old stinky, nasty books.
Wait, so you just like the physical texture of touching them?
I like new books. I don't like old smelly books.
Oh, I love the smell of old books.
Oh, yuck.
Yes. Okay. Would you rather live in London or live in Manhattan?
Oh, come on. Can't do the city, Tim. I was hoping the other option would be like, or out in the middle of nowhere. I was going to take the middle of nowhere.
Oh, that's no fun. I mean, the middle of nowhere can be fun, but an easy answer is not fun.
Yeah. I mean, I guess go with, what do they say? The enemy you don't know. So I guess I'll go with London. Because I already know I can't do Manhattan.
I would do London as well, but it would be, because London is closer to historical stuff.
Okay.
I don't want to live in either. But if I had to live, you know, and I feel like.
Can it be like Mary Poppins London?
No, not unless we merge it with the time travel one. Oh. And we can't merge questions. Not in this hypothetical game, just kind of smushing questions together.
Huh? I tried.
Sarah, that's just ridiculous. Okay, next one. Would you rather fight against one human-sized woodpecker or fight against three alligators? Now, keep in mind, like I said, this is not a ridiculous game, so take it seriously.
Three alligators, those teeth are that's a lot of teeth. A woodpecker though, I can't imagine the damage he's gonna do with that beak. We had a woodpecker out in the backyard the other day, and you know what he did? He peeled the bark off of an entire tree. It was like a skinny tree, like a skinny little tree. He peeled all the bark off that tree. So I can only imagine what the woodpecker is gonna do to me, but I'm gonna go with the one woodpecker over the three alligators, because three alligators, I'm outnumbered. And I don't know, maybe I'd have a better chance getting away from that nasty woodpecker.
You know, I that's what the decision came down to it for me too, is I was like, well, you know, if there's three, like I can't even turn and run the other way because they could flank me.
They'll
could
just surround you.
Me. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Military positions or something, strategize. Plus, if I got killed by a human-sized woodpecker, just if that ever happens, please let my wife know. I want it on the news. I want it on my tombstone. Just make sure it goes down. Make a movie about me. You know, there's got to be something.
That's true.
Okay. Next one. Would you rather be able to talk to dogs or be able to talk to birds?
Birds, I guess.
Why?
I don't like dogs. You know me. I can't stand dogs. And the way that people love their dogs more than children, it's just a pet peeve of mine. So I'll talk to the birds, I guess. I'll talk to that woodpecker and ask him not to attack me.
While you're traveling to Mary Poppins, London. Yes. Okay, I would also choose talk to birds, but just a weird sentence, because I figure I can already kind of talk to dogs, like they can't talk back, but like you can tell certain dogs like, hey, go, you know, sit, go over to there and do that, whatever it is.
Yeah.
A trained dog can understand some commands,
sure.
Whereas, you know, if I have a bird flying around my backyard, they're not trained. And also, there are a lot more birds in my life than dogs. So mathematically, I'm going with the odds here. And frankly,
so you can have someone to talk to.
Well, and I don't remember any dogs helping Cinderella make a dress, but I do remember birds doing chores for her. So let's get practical here.
Yes.
All right. Let's go with one last one. Here we go.
Okay.
Would you rather skip your morning routine or skip your bedtime routine?
Bedtime routine for sure.
Really? Okay.
Oh, I don't
Why?
Know. Hold on. Let me backtrack a minute here. Because I'm a morning person. So like I get up and I do my prayers and I have my tea. But bedtime routine, I get my bath and my husband puts the kids to bed. I mean, do I still get to go to bed? I was thinking if I skip my bedtime routine, I'd get to go to bed early. But this is tough.
No, you still go to bed at the same time.
Go to bed at the same time.
Yeah, you don't get to just
go to bed.
Yeah, well, it wouldn't be like 3 hours early. Well, I'm not going to do this other stuff, so I'm just going to go to bed at 4 p.m. Like, that doesn't count.
Oh, well, that's why I was taking that one, so I could go to bed early.
No, then that's just...
Oh, man. I guess I'll have to skip my morning routine then, but I'm going to have to work in my prayer somewhere else. But it really is important to me that I don't have to put the kids to bed at night.
I don't want to put the kids to bed, but you know, that's
it's really hard after all day. You know, I like that my husband comes home and he hasn't had them all day, so he puts them to bed. Like, that works.
No, I mean, it's important. Which is more important, getting your prayers in or not having to deal with kids? You picked a good one.
Now I'm terrible. Now I'm just a terrible person.
Oh, we're both really terrible. I'll be honest. I've been thinking about this one for a while, and I genuinely don't know. But if I would say probably skip my morning routine just because I'm not a morning person and I'm going to be struggling anyway, whereas if I skip my evening routine, I feel like I'm not going to sleep well. And then it's just going to make the morning that much difficult, whether I skip my morning routine or not.
Right.
So,
right.
That being said, I don't know how I would skip either and be functional. So,
I guess I feel like I have a better chance that I can adjust my, cause I'm a morning person. Like, okay, I'll find a new morning routine, but my bedtime routine, I just don't know what else I'm going to do.
That's true. That's a very good point. Like, all I know is this. I said it before, and about me, I think it's true about you. If we went back in time, we'd die very, very quickly.
I think that's true.
I don't think I'd make it any earlier than 1980. I really don't. I couldn't.
Hey, you know what would be fun? If our listeners told us the answer, what they would choose in our Would You Rather questions. So what do you think, guys? Leave a comment. Let us know if there was one in particular that stood out to you, or you think Tim and I are making terrible choices.
Which we probably
are. Please let us know in the comments.
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.